The end of the year brings with it not just 10 best lists for books and movies, but Word of the Year designations from professional societies and dictionaries. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has these thoughts on some of the contenders, including a couple of newsmaking racial epithets. We know these words are offensive, so we just want to let you know you are going to hear them during the discussion of why they were in the news.
The business of naming a word of the year began as a half-whimsical exercise in 1990, when the members of the American Dialect Society decided at their annual meeting to pick the word that best expressed some feature of the prevailing zeitgeist. Within a few years, the press was picking up on the vote as a cute end-of-the-year feature, and dictionary publishers and others began to get into the act with an eye to getting some free publicity. This year's winners are already trickling in. The Oxford American Dictionary chose the expression carbon neutral, and the linguist Dennis Barron picked roadside bomb at his Web of Language website. But while both those terms have been in the headlines, they aren't particularly interesting as words in themselves, no more than bird flu or polonium is. A better choice might be truthiness, which Merriam-Webster named as the 2006 Word of the Year on the basis of an online survey. The only problem is that that's the same word the American Dialect Society picked for 2005, and not even Stephen Colbert should get to win 2 years running for the same performance. Anyway, those are merely the Golden Globes and People's Choice Awards of lexicography. Serious wordinistas will be waiting for the linguistic Oscars when the American Dialect Society makes its selection in January. It's a strong field this year, what with contenders like Islamofascism, Netroots, Dwarf Planet, Buzzkill, and The Decider. Or if you're looking simply for bounce to the ounce, you'd probably pick macaca, an item whose first and only appearance in American public discourse could be credited with tipping the Senate to the Democrats. Given the razor-thin margin in the Virginia Senate race, it's a fair bet that George Allen would have kept his seat if not for the flap when he used the word to refer to an Indian-American at a campaign rally, and then try to explain it away as a term he'd made up on the spot without knowing what it meant. If that was so, it was certainly a bit of freakish bad luck that led him to tumble on a word that happens to be a racial slur in the North African French spoken by his mother. But in that case, maybe the nod for Word of the Year should go to another career-derailing racial slur which found its way via YouTube into the national spotlight. True, the career in question here wasn't nearly as high-flying as Allen's. Before his meltdown at L.A.'s Laugh Factory, people rarely referred to Michael Richards without adding, you know, the guy who played Kramer on Seinfeld. But that's just what made the uproar so notable from a linguistic point of view. Here's a B-list celebrity who lurches into an incoherent racist diatribe in the middle of a nightclub stand-up routine. And the next thing you know, he's all over the media and making the customary circuit of public contrition with Letterman and Jesse Jackson, delivering himself of the turgid self-analysis that betrays a life spent in acting classes. I was in a place of humiliation. I need to get into the depths of my being. It was as if Richards was the only person in America who didn't understand that nobody remotely cared what kind of place he was in when he went into his rampage. The whole business was simply a pretext for giving audiences another chance to watch the mesmerizing spectacle of somebody giving in to the rage that's implicit in that word.
He's a nigger! He's a nigger!
Oh my God.
A nigger! Look, there's a nigger!
That woman's voice you hear pretty much sums up the first reaction of most people. Oh my God. Of course, everybody knows the word, but nowadays most middle-class whites have suppressed it as a redneck vulgarity. So it was a shock to hear it yelled as a venomous insult, particularly by the endearingly rambunctious character who used to come crashing through Jerry's open door every week. No, we can't ban the word, but we can't easily pretend that we've gotten past it either. I'm not a racist, Richard said, with apparently genuine puzzlement. But that's the thing about that word. Whatever you think your intentions are, it trails its own history of hate and violence into the room. That's why Richard's outburst led some black comics like Paul Mooney to announce that they'd be dropping the word from their own material from now on. Of course, this particular epithet has been in the running for Word of the Year before. It could have been selected in 1998, when black leaders threatened to boycott Merriam-Webster for not beginning their dictionary definition of the word by labeling it as offensive. Or in 1995, when a tape of Detective Mark Furman using the word was played at the O.J. trial, reinforcing the jury's suspicion that the L.A. police might have planted evidence. Or if the linguists had been voting back then, the word could have been chosen in 1988, when the group N.W.A., or Niggas with Attitude, brought gangster rap into the musical mainstream with their album Straight Outta Compton, and set off an ongoing controversy over the use of the word by black entertainers. Or in 1948, when Strom Thurmond ran for president as a Dixiecrat and told his audience that not all the troops in the army could force Southerners to admit the nigger race into their theaters, swimming pools, and churches. Or in 1928, when Paul Robeson was criticized for singing the word in the lyrics to Old Man River in the Kern Hammerstein musical Showboat. Actually, that's why it's unlikely that anybody will choose the epithet as Word of the Year for 2006. The Richards episode may have been shocking, but it didn't really tell us anything we didn't know already. Still, you can be sure the word will be back in contention for the honor in years to come.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist who teaches at the School of Information at the University of California at Berkeley. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross. We'll close with a tribute to the actor Peter Boyle. He died last night at the age of 71. Here's a classic Boyle moment from Mel Brooks' film Young Frankenstein, in which Boyle played the monster and sang this duet with Dr. Frankenstein, played by Gene Wilder.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes, or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a million-dollar trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper. Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or umbrellas in their midst.